Well, would you declare with me? Say, Lord Jesus,
I have eyes that see.
I have ears that really hear.
I have ears that really hear.
And my smeller can detect what you're doing with me and what you're releasing in me. And we want the aroma of heaven on this word today. So we can take it to the bank. So our Father will have something to share from the covenant we have with Him. This is serious business.
This is serious business.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
For the past few months, I should say several months, Holy Spirit has been pushing my buttons to rest. And rest from my works, rest from what I do, rest from what I perform on my own. And there are multiples of levels of resting, at least that I'm discovering as I keep walking. I have a tendency to be a doer, so obviously Gail and I get along quite well, along with those that are in a hurry for something to happen and it doesn't happen, so I want to help God out. But the bottom line that He really wanted is for me to focus on Him. So I'm going to take you to Hebrews chapter 4, because this is what I heard early this morning. So if you'll come with me to Hebrews chapter 4, I want to kind of stress the reality of the choice to rest. It's a choice. Verse 1 says, "Therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it." Well, when I fall short is because I'm going back into my works.
Yeah.
We had a demonstration of the footwork. So it relates to what Darlene was speaking. We do everything that we can before in order to produce godly results in what we perceive He can bless. Mm-hmm. When she was dancing around there, it was what I was seeing in this word this morning. We prance around, we dance around, we do all the things that we expect to make God happy. Then He can bless us. And obviously we can't do without His blessing. But I remember a few years ago I had a gentleman who was crying out for me and crying out to me that he had rested in God and trusting in God, but his finances were falling apart. And I said to him, "Well, wait a minute. Did you put any seeds in your garden? What are you expecting? If you plant tomatoes, what are you going to harvest?
Tomatoes.
If you plant squash, what are you going to harvest?
Squash.
If you need money, what are you going to plant?
Money.
So I could take you and give you a wake-up call. If you're wondering where your finances are, have you got any seeds in your garden?"
Yeah.
And he looked at me like if I had three heads. Well, he says, "I don't have anything to give." I said, "Well, then that means you need to share. And you need to wake up." So obviously, a few weeks he goes by, he began to put some seeds of money into the Lord's garden. And the end result was, he started to see a change in his reception of a harvest. And I could go on in that corner. But you see, if you're resting with your finances in God's garden, what's going to happen? When you put the seeds in a garden, do you have to take care of it? Yes. You have to make sure it gets water. You have to make sure that it's going to get not overrun by weeds. So there's work to be done on your part to keep an eye on the garden. So, resting from your works, when you put your efficiency as a man or a woman before God, and you wonder why He didn't take care of you, usually it's because you're trying to help Him out. You're trying to perform, and you dance around or do whatever. Or you get a lack of understanding about what John shared about covenant. See, when he shared some of this with me, I knew, you know, there are parts in my life that I was giving constantly, and I was wondering when I was going to be able to receive. And he finally reminded me, stop performing. You know, rest with what you have already invested, and I will take care of the rest. So it's not a formula.
Amen. Amen.
Okay? It's everything that I have belongs to my Father, and everything my Father has belongs to me. It's a covenant. It's an agreement. Now, this is going to go back to Ray and Carol. Okay? I was in business at the time. I had to make a loan every year in order to survive February and March. In the furniture business, there's snow on the ground, nothing happens.
Yeah.
Okay? So every year, I had to make a loan. Usually a 90-day loan, which was renewable, but again, you're borrowing. So I had gotten to the scripture where it says, I am going to be a lender and not a borrower. Well, that's fine. Well, I read it. Then, of course, Hosea 4:6 says, my people lack knowledge, and they fail because of knowledge. Well, your understanding now of a covenant between God and you and God, has a two-way playing field. It's not singular. It's not all about me sacrificing 10%. It's about me saying it's all yours.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Okay? If it's all his, then he can request whatever he asks of you.
Absolutely.
So, make a long story short, I started putting all the scriptures about finances on a piece of paper. And I went to Ray, and we discussed it, and I said, I'm all done borrowing.
Amen.
That's it. I'm all done. It's not going to happen anymore.
Amen.
I said, either God is going to take care of me, because everything I have is his, and everything he has is mine. Now, I'm about 3 years in the Lord at that time. Big knowledge. Okay. Well, I should say 13 years in the Lord. 3 years of the Holy Spirit impacting me.
Yeah.
That would be the better way. Long story short, I remember sitting in my kitchen, my wife and I, Carol and Ray, and I believe Teresa Arbor. I had 5 copies made, and we made an agreement in writing with the scriptures. And then we all signed it. So is a covenant. Well, about 3 or 4 weeks go by, and we get this bill that comes in at the beginning of the week. And my wife and I look at it, and she says, Kim, this is due, whatever it was, the dates, I don't remember. But it had to be in the winter. And I had not made a loan. We were surviving on what we had received and what we had set aside. Long story short, now, on a Monday morning, I said to her, would you make out a check for whatever money's left in the checkbook? She said, everything? I said, except for the pennies. Okay? Long story short, made out a check, and we mailed it out because, again, the mailman came to my office every day, but I didn't trust my soul. The box was still in control. So I went and mailed it in the mailbox down the street so I couldn't go back and retrieve the letter and change my mind.
Amen.
I already knew what the holy pressure would be on my brain about, my God, the checkbook's empty. Okay? So I purposed to walk down the street, and I anointed the letter with oil and released it. So that was Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday goes on. We don't have one person paying rent. And there were many that paid rent on a weekly basis. Not one paid any rent. And all we did is feed people all week. That's all we did. And finally, towards Thursday, Irene says, do you have any money? And I said, yeah. She said, well, I got to replenish the refrigerator because that back room of the store was full of people all day long, seven days a week.
Always.
Or 6 days a week.
Yeah.
Long story. Friday afternoon, around, well, at 11 in the morning, I hear, you got to go and pick up some moldings because you got a floor job and I needed special moldings for a flooring job that needed to be done on a Monday. That was already scheduled. So I said, well, I'm going to go with the truck and I'll pick up the moldings because they're 12 feet long. So I have no choice but to use the vehicle that works. And I'm on my way back home and I hear you better go for a loan now because that bill is due on Monday and it's for $2,200. So I said, okay, Lord. But if you think I'm going to borrow, there's no way. So I began to pray in the spirit all the rest of the way to the store. I drive it back into the back room. I'm not aware that Irene is under the same pressure, probably double what I was, because she's got the checkbook in front of her. Now you've got an empty checkbook. You've got no money to pay off anything. And the bill is due on Monday. So the bank is closed already because I've kind of passed that on my way home on the turnpike. I knew the bank is gone now. So thank God, at least I'm not going to have to drive there because I know my brain is going to be in trouble again. So anyway, long story short, around 4:30, a gentleman and his wife walk in and they owe me money from quite a few years. So they asked me to see this bedroom set and this and this and that and this and that. Again, some of you have heard this story, but it's important that you know that there was pressure because Irene just literally slipped in the back room and began to pray in the spirit. And just prayed and asked God for grace for us because, again, it could be a sale. So anyway, the people did buy. And it was $2,300, I think, or something like that. It was over what we needed. But of course, it doesn't give you the money immediately. But what does this man do? He lays out the money in cash on the counter and said, deliver it when you want to. Now, that's not something you normally hear from a customer. It's like, deliver it yesterday.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say, what about the leftover finances that you still owe me? And long story, I didn't because there was a press to be quiet. What do you think was happening on our way home that night?
Rejoice.
The covenant that we had that we didn't have to borrow was such a miracle because there was a history of borrowing.
Amen. That's right.
Okay? She was aware of it, and I was aware of it. Resting was not what we were doing on the way home. Resting was more important on Monday to deposit that and then put the check in the mail. That's when we rested, because at that time, we could not rest during the week. We worked. We did a lot of dancing. We did a lot of the things that people do because we want God to activate something towards you. Have I rested yet? Yes, I have. A few months ago, I talked to Peggy because we were struggling financially. And we were wondering how we're going to pay the rent and how is this going to happen and how's that going to happen? And I finally called her and I said, we need to agree in prayer here because there's pressure and I don't like it. Amen?
Amen.
So we prayed. God miraculously brought what we needed. How and why do we continue to rest? Because we know that everybody is in a test. This house of prayer is in a test. And it's designed by God for making us what we've become and what we will need to become. Because we're not there yet. We are on a journey. Mm-hmm. And you remember, we were taught many years back, your journey is going to be filled with events. Struggles are part of those events. The testing are real. Now go back to verse 1. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands. Why do you think it says still stands? Because God rested in Genesis. This is in Hebrews, 4,000 years later. Let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. When we gave that money, we believed in faith that we were going to get a harvest.
Yeah.
And we did get a harvest. The next test happened later. It was more difficult. And I could go into the details of that, but that's not important. What I'm trying to make you aware of is, when you've done all you know, rest. Because there's a season of testing that takes place. And maybe God's going to push you to the limit so that you can know that He is real and that He will come through, but it's not without a struggle. Right, Ann? It is a struggle to believe, even at the last minute, that God will manifest. Verse 3. Now we who have believed enter that rest. It doesn't say unbelievers. We who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declare an oath in my anger that they shall never enter my rest. Why was he angry with the others? Because their covenant was not solid. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. And on the seventh day God rested from all his work. That was the seventh day of creation. And now we're going to be entering the seventh day of the church age and of God's work in the earth. You see, that millennium, which is 1,000 years of freedom, where Christ is going to lead everything and rule and reign, he's teaching us to become priests and kings. Okay. The development of my trust in my king was started where I really began to trust him. It was a choice. Did I feel right about it? No. Did I get tested? Yes. Do I still get tested? Yes. Is it as severe? No. There is a growing in confidence of his abilities. But again, that knowing that he has taken care of you two, for instance, all the way through, challenges beyond my reason. But I believe it's because the callings and the giftings that are in you are beyond what others go through for his purpose for the two of you.
Amen. Amen.
And that may sound, oh my God, you're singling them out. No.
No.
Every single person has a book written. And that promise, the enemy knows about some of it. He may not know it all, but he knows about it. Because why? He's watched you for years.
Yes.
You say, well, I'm 90-something. How could he know? But he does.
She's so cute.
And you know, it doesn't matter what age you are. Mm-hmm. He's going to test you at every age. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's going to try to lie to you with every lie he knows. And I can remember with my mom, who went home at 93. At one point she was in the nursing home, and I would go every day, sometimes twice a day, depending on the circumstances. And I had a hard time to rest because I would have wanted to take her home.
Yep.
The want to was there, but the abilities were not, because we would have short-circuited other things. And I remember this one day, she had been there for a couple months, and she says to me, Kim, she says, it is so hard to wait for death.
Wow.
And I said, Mom, she says, I never thought waiting for death was going to be this difficult, this hard, this way of waiting and waiting and waiting. She says, I have no purpose. And I said to her, Mom, You may not have a purpose up here in your mind, but there is a purpose. Every day, she had a male nurse that came in. Every day, he would tease her whenever she asked to go to the bathroom. He would say $5. Okay? And he teased her like my dad would do. And, of course, he was a constant reminder of my dad's attitude. Okay? Amelia, you can have whatever you want as long as you put the $5 there. Well, I ended up ministering to him. Gave him a book, Prison to Praise. 2 years later, he came to this church and him and his wife accepted the Lord. But it was because of Mom putting seeds of life into him. My mother at 93 was still ministering and didn't know it. What her words of life were for that young man who would be a registered nurse, his wife a registered nurse, she actually came down with 4-stage cancer and she's still alive. Because of the house of prayer. Because of a woman who faithfully prayed for that guy that reminded her of a man that loved her enough to marry her. Because she would say to me, every time he walks in, it's like having your dad come in. Because he teased her and she loved it. She rested in a different way than I would rest. But every one of us, we have entering every day a rest period. You rested after you stopped dancing, right? Verse 6. Well, verse 5. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest. Some. They're going to enter by choice. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. Therefore, God again set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Mm-hmm. There's your problem. Mm-hmm. Do not harden your hearts. Don't try to judge God because he will get away with it. Mm-hmm. He's going to wiggle out of every box that you and I could ever put him in because I've tried it. Reminding him of his promises is a good thing, but your heart cannot be hard. Your heart needs to be adjusted. Okay, pause here for a moment. This past week, the Lord gave me a vision when I prayed for a young man. It's a vision I've never seen before. I anointed him. He's a broken person. He's younger than I, that gives plenty of room. And when I began to pray in the spirit for him, he's received this new language. He was not praying at the moment. And what I saw was a sheet of ice over his heart. And I saw cracks and a little tiny hole. It looked like when somebody goes ice fishing. Yeah. They make a little hole. I saw cracks all around the heart on the ice. And as we prayed, I saw the cracks getting whiter. I saw the fluid starting to function. So I described it to him. And I said, do I have permission to put my hand over your heart? And he said, yes. Well, as I prayed in the spirit, all of a sudden, his heavenly language started to come out of him. And it started to pour out. And all I felt like doing was crying. Because I knew that it was the fire of God that was starting to break all that ice, all that cold, all that impossible to function. feeling on the inside of him. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. You see, hardened hearts are hiding under a freezer type of situation. That's what God was showing me. And his fire was working to break the ice. When you come out of that brokenness, you're not going to be the same. What you've learned from each other today is the best sermon anybody could ask for. Entering his rest is more important when you look at where you are in your walk with him and try to not figure it all out. That's what entering his rest is. Resting is saying, okay, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but 200 miles or 2 hours of traveling is not the end of the world if I'm going to get one hug of value. If I'm going to get one hug of value. That's what you pointed out. One hug of value can change a heart.
Amen.
One person in you and in covenant with you that you can count on will keep you going. Sometimes the pain is going to be difficult, but not hopeless. Because you see, that gift of hope is to believe for the miracle that will take place on the day appointed.
Yep.
The day appointed for us that I shared with you was we had put seeds in the garden. We were doing it on a regular basis, but now we had a crash situation, something unforeseen, but God came through. These are the examples that I go back on and rehearse in my heart. Because again, if it wasn't for Carol and Ray, where would I be today? This couple left California, bag and baggage, and after 10 years being out there, came for me.
And then you came for me.
But the point that I'm trying to show you is God's faithfulness. His ability to keep us going, keep us flowing, keep us going forward. And he's going to function on that Interstate 90, right across this country.
Amen.
Because of our ability to rest in his capacity to send out the blood all the way across the country.
Amen.
You say, well, I don't know anybody in whatever town. It's not important. What's important is you lay down your life and let him function through you. Let your heart become his heart of compassion towards each other. Verse 12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. There were seasons that I would hide because I didn't know how to survive. And the Lord would always come to me in some way to awaken me and to say, look, you think you're hiding? I'm right here behind you. So, if you will stand, please. Say,
Lord Jesus,
your plan for me
is resident
in my heart
by the Holy Ghost.
You're going to make me
into what you've called to me,
what you wrote about me,
what your purpose is for me,
because your plan
will not be destroyed
by darkness,
because
we're exposing it today. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. We pray.
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 We pray.